to the book of Acts, if you would, please. If you don't, listen up. And Don has heard this message a couple of times. And I was thinking about doing Matthew chapter 25 with the verses that Pastor Fritz was had quoted. But I decided this would fit along with your mission statement, Pastor Fritz, and an encouragement to you all. And I'm sure most of you are familiar with this passage in Acts chapter 3, if you would. And Peter and John, what a powerful, and it really goes through chapter 4. I'm going to talk kind of fast, but I feel that I need to cover all of this. And I just need to get one thing, and that's my water that I left behind Brother Craich there. Oh, I can still hear myself talk. I forgot I have a little microphone on my tie there. So you're turning to Acts chapter 3. If you're familiar with this, Peter and John, Oh, that's good. Power suggestion. Are you thirsty? Too bad. Couldn't resist that. After the filling of the Spirit in Acts chapter 2, Peter and John, they're filled with the Spirit, and they go out. And it says in verse 1, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they had laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. So let's pray. Father, we do thank you for the word of God. Father, speak to us now, O Lord, and open up our hearts and ears and help us to see these things and to realize the powerful testimony of when one is saved and how we can see that in our own lives, and give us the boldness to do so, especially in this season coming up. Father, we pray that you would bless this hour, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Excuse me. And I have to, I have to kind of make a disclaimer here. Huh? Oh, wow, you already prepared that. And when this weather, my throat kind of dries out a little bit, and I've lost it a couple of times, excuse me, when I've been preaching in the jail. And it goes for about a minute, minute and a half, finally comes back, and then I'll say, Don, take it away. And then so Don comes up, and that hasn't happened in about 2 or 3 months, but I came prepared, and I'm just, so if this happens, Don, take it away. You know? So that's another reason why I appreciate Don so much. So this lame man is laid daily at the gate. Then that's one of the main gates. It's called the Gate Beautiful. And who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Wow! Powerful miracle. Jesus gave the power of miracles right onto his disciples. And just after being filled with the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2, the power of the Holy Spirit, as promised by Jesus, go into Jerusalem, wait there, and you shall receive power from on high. Wow! And did they receive it? They went out with boldness and preached. And what the second, and at that time, there were 3,000 that were led to Christ, and the start of the very first church, really. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, these 3,000. That were led to Christ. Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so then, this is the second most powerful recorded instance, because, and it just started with this But this lame man, and many of us are familiar with Peter and John and what they did, how God used them and directed them in certain ways. But I want to focus on this lame man, because he's really the whole focus of this. And there's so much here. Peter said, he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. It reminded me when Jesus said, after he fed the 5,000 with the five loaves and the two fishes, and told them to go into the other side, I'll meet you there, while he sent the multitudes away. And he took a shortcut. You remember that? He walked across the water, Jesus did. And that time there was a great windstorm, and the waves were coming in the boat, and the disciples, who were seamen, were fearful. So this was a pretty, pretty big storm. And they see Jesus coming across the water, walking on the water, the wind, I suppose, blowing his robes and everything. And they says, it's a ghost. It's a spirit. And Jesus immediately felt what they experienced. He says, fear not, it is I. Be of good cheer. You know, Jesus knows our heart from a long distance away. And Peter says, Lord, if it's really you, bid me come and meet you on the water. Jesus says, come. So Jesus takes some steps. Doesn't say how many steps, but he's walking on the water. And then it's great evidence of faith. I can't say great faith, because then he saw the wind boisterous and began to sink. Or in other words, of course, you can't see the wind, but you can hear the wind, and it distracted him. He literally turned his head, and he took his eyes off the Lord, and he began to sink. And then he cried out, Lord, save me. And Jesus stretched forth his hand and says, oh, you little faith, and pulled him up out of the water. Excuse me. And now Peter is doing the same with this lame man. He reaches down and pulls him up. Wow, the power of God. Leaping up, he stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. In verse 10, and they knew that it was he which had sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. This was the powerful testimony of the lame man. You know, I often wondered how many times Jesus had walked right by this man. I mean, Jesus was healing people left and right that came to him, but the lame man couldn't get to him. I just wondered, you know, if I could just crawl over there, but I can't. And how many times, you know, Jesus tipped over the money changer's table. He was in the temple all the time. And then the lame man heard that he died. Oh, my hopes are gone. But no, God had something better for him. He had something really a lot better for him. It reminds me of the blind man who's, of course, then if you were born with a malady, it was either your sin or your parents' sin that was the cause of your disease or your malady or your birth defect. Of course, we know that's not true at all. And Jesus said it's for the glory of God, is why. Because that was a powerful testimony. That blind man could see. He drew many people unto him. Lazarus, you know, it was for the glory of God, and that was why he tarried in Bethany for so long. It was for the glory of God, because it was a powerful testimony. This lame man, wow. And time out. A little prevention here. Excuse me. Thank you. Oh, it's much better. And it says in verse 11, and as a lame man which was healed held Peter and John. That word held means stuck to him like glue. Peter and John had a friend to the end. Man, he didn't want to go anywhere else with him. And all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly. All the people ran to this lame man was drawing them. And Jesus had something better in mind. And Peter and John. I've got to mention, Peter and John, in verse 1, went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. The time there was three times of prayer. It was at 9 o'clock in the morning, 3 in the afternoon, then again in the evening. But they were at the right place at the right time, and God blessed them for that. You know, I got thinking about that. What if Jesus comes at 10:30 in the morning on Sunday, or 9:30 in the morning on Sunday, and where will you be? You know, will he find you faithful? Will you be in the right place at the right time? So if you are, there's going to be blessings upon your life. God promises that. Being faithful. And God honored that here. And this lame man. And then Peter preaches this powerful message. When he saw it, when Peter saw it, saw what? The opportunity. All these people were here. He said, "You men of Israel, why marvel at this, or why look you so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the Just One," look at verse 15, "and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead." In verse 16, "and his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong." Do you remember when he said to the lame man, "Look on us in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk." And he says, and look at verse 17, "And now, brethren, I wot not, or I wish not that there, I wish not that through ignorance you did it, as did also your rulers." And then he's saying these things not to condemn them. You know, you condemned the prince of, or you denied the Holy One and the Just One, and you killed the Prince of Life and so forth. He's letting the remorse seek in. He's letting there an opportunity for repentance. To know that you've sinned is one thing, and to admit it is another. But then to receive pardon, he's giving them an opportunity to acknowledge that, because they were all part of it. They who knows how many were in that crowd when Pilate condemned him. And then now he says, verse 19, "Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." So here's the opportunity. The condemnation of our sin, the acknowledgement, and then the receiving pardon of it. This is all leading of it. And then I'm going to skip over to chapter 4. "And as they spoke unto the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, and being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead, and they laid hands on them and put them in the hold," or the jail, "until the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. Wow, 5,000 men, plus the women and the children. The lame man. I'll tell you, God gets the credit, but God uses a testimony. And that's my challenge to you. You know, is going out these doors, as Pastor Fritz mentioned, is your missionary field. And it's just the boldness that we need, the joy in seeing a life being come to life through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We get into the Christmas time here, and we're going to be with family and friends. And I'm going to pray for you all as you pray for me too. And I have a nephew and a brother-in-law that's not saved. I'm going to pray for an opportunity to plant another seed, you know, and then ask God that he would cause it to grow. But it takes seed planters and salt sprinklers. That's what Brother Craich was speaking about the other night. It's planting seeds. Don't worry about the fruits. God's in charge of that. He gives the increase, right? But plant the seeds. Sprinkle the salt. That's what we need to do. But it goes on. I tell you, when God's doing a good work, you can bet Satan's going to rear his head up, right? "And it came to pass on the morrow that the rulers and the elders and the scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together in Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, 'By what power or by what name have you done this?' Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, You rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to this impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. Look at verse 12. Neither is salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, see what God does? You know, I got thinking about this just the other day. You know, we've gone through a political season and so forth, and we see so much that was done in our country in the last years, and how this country has turned from God and turned unto wickedness and perversion in our schools and so forth, everywhere. And these were individuals in authority with degrees and intelligence and so forth, but don't know the difference between right and wrong. Just the moral principles, godly principles. I'd much rather have someone with little education, intelligent, little education, and a heart for God, knowing the difference between right and wrong, than someone with all those accolades. You know, I'll vote for him any time. And now when they saw the boldness, then and look at verse 14, and beholding the man which was healed, standing with them, I mean, layman, we'll call him layman, okay? Layman, he's there, the layman. He stuck with him. He held Peter. And, you know, I'm going to jail with you guys. There's no better place to be, you know. And I got thinking all the time that Peter was preaching this powerful message, you know, from verse 12 all the way through verse 26. Layman standing next to him. Standing still, right? No. He's going, whoa! Hey! Now, layman, let me finish this, you know. I mean, can you blame the man? You know, he's just doing a little dance over here, you know. And all the people, I just get excited every time I see it. I gotta laugh. And he's trying to keep, he was born lame, never walked a step in his life. What is it, when your muscles are atrophied, you need therapy, and even years of therapy couldn't give him to get a decent limp or anything, and all the medical modern miracles that we have, technology couldn't do what, I mean, stand up and walk and kaboom, pow, leaping and jumping, praising God. Just the excitement and the joy, you know. Oh, man, I'll tell you. And there he was. Everybody could see him. And now he's in jail with him. And he's still excited. And this was what his prosecutors had to face here, because it says in verse 15, that when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, What shall we do with these men? For that indeed a notable miracle has been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we can't deny it. But that is spread no further among the people. Let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. So they all agreed, and they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. Or he's saying, What would you do? Would you listen to God more or to a man? He says, For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. It's just bubbling through them. You can't put a cap on a volcano. And we can't help but speak it. Throw us in the jail. Keep us there. You remember when Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego were thrown in the fiery furnace? Yeah. O king, throw us in the furnace, but we won't bow down before you. And they threw him in. And the one guard looked in through that little window and says, O king, did we not throw three men in? He says, Yes. He says, Oh, I see a fourth. And he's likened to the Son of God. Wow. God's with him. Jesus was right with him. And they were pulled out, not a hair singed on their head. The clothes didn't smell like smoke. And he says, "For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed. You know, and if Peter and John would have said, "Well, okay, I promise, we promise that we won't speak anymore in the name of Jesus if you let us go," they would have kept their promise. They're honest men. That would have been it. The end of ministry, really. But God had better things. He gives boldness to stand up for what is right, no matter what. No matter what. But I want to take you back to chapter 3 again. You remember, it says in verse 3, "Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him, but John said, 'Look on us.'" Now, I looked up those words because that was interesting. And the word "fastening" really, or "look on us," are the same words that means behold earnestly or to gaze intently. Because I suppose the layman would say, "Sir, alms for the lame, please." And I can't help but tell you this. He's probably sitting next to the guy that was the blind man. You remember the blind man? He's there. "Sir, alms for the blind, please. Alms for the blind." He's got a little cup, you know. And so you throw a coin in there. Clink. He goes, Cheapskate. That's an old joke. Okay, thank you. I couldn't resist that. I'm sorry. Better take one of these. Oh, it's bitter. I'm sorry. The dry weather does it to me. And he had to look up because he was like this. And he says, "Look at us." He wanted the eye contact. Had to have the eye contact because he wanted Peter and John. Peter wanted the layman to not see him. But he says, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And Peter was the first to say, "It's not us who did this. It's Jesus Christ." To behold. It reminded me of the incident back in Numbers chapter 21. Do you remember that? The brass serpent. The people had come across the Red Sea. They were wandering in the wilderness. First thing they were doing, they complained and they murmured. And they did this all throughout the 40 years, murmuring and complaining. A faithless generation that God couldn't allow to go into the wilderness. He had to have a whole new generation. It took 40 years to get a whole new generation to go in from the age of 21 on up. And a part of that evidence was the murmuring, complaining, not being happy with what they were. Just been set free from slavery in Egypt, liberty, finally. And then trusting in God and the 10 great miracles through Pharaoh. And complaining one time after another. This time in Numbers 21 was the last straw. Because here they said, and the people spoke against God and against Moses. "Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in a wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth or hates this light bread." What light bread was he talking about? The manna, right? The manna was a picture of Christ. The manna, you had to gather it every day. And so we do with Christ every day. You know, yesterday's reading of the Word, Jesus is the Word, isn't good enough for today. Yesterday's prayer isn't good enough for today. It's every day you had to gather it. And it was, you could do anything with it. You could seethe it and boil it and bake it and make it into cakes and it was translucent as delium, the pearl delium. It's beautiful to look at. And it was sweeter than the honeycomb. Or you could eat it right out of the box. They used to say when I was growing up. It's wonderful and extremely nutritious. You can believe that, you know, God. But it was a picture of Christ. This bread from heaven Jesus says, I am the bread from heaven. He says, if any man eated the bread I have to offer, he would never hunger. And he who would drink of the water I give would never thirst. And he says, I am the bread of life. This was a picture of Christ. And so when they said, we hate this light bread, Jesus took it personal. Therefore, and the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit snakes. And they bit the people, and much people died in Israel. Wow. I mean, he sent fiery snakes, serpents. Serpent is a snake. You go back to the first mention of a serpent, and it's in the Garden of Eden. And the author of sin himself. And that was important. And I got to thinking, too, you know, it was a 7 square mile of 2.5 million Jews. And the temple was right in the middle, really in the pillar of fire by night and the pillar of cloud by day. So anybody could see that at any time, especially at night, that God was dwelling among us, leading us and dwelling among us. But on the outer fringes, it seems like that's always where there was punishment on the outer. And that's what it was. It was on the outer circumference. Those that weren't so close to God. I wondered about that. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looks upon it, he shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. The same word. Gaze earnestly. Look intently. It couldn't be a glance. And there were people that were bitten that wouldn't go. They died. But that serpent on the pole was a picture of Christ as well. I mean, you say, well, how could that be? I mean, a serpent is a snake. I mean, why would God want to put... Because Jesus died for our sins. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Jesus died for our sins. And isn't that true where the snake's venom is the actual cure? I don't know if that's true, yeah? And here, he had to look, and it wasn't just a fleeting glance. You had to look earnestly, gaze intently. That's faith. That's faith. When I went to the cross, Brother Craich was saying March of 79, was it? That's when you got saved? February of 77, if you're saved, you went to the cross and looked intently at that cross. Believing that what Jesus did for you was sufficient to save you from your sin. Shed his blood. Wash, cleanse me. Shall confess my sins. He is faithful and just to cleanse me of my sins. All my sins. And I did that. And that's what they did. And those that gazed intently with faith were healed. And I think of that when the lame men. Oh, laymen, as they call them. Laman, his time was to come later, and it was for the glory of God. 1 Peter 1:18 says, for as much as you know, you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish. If there's one here today who has not gone to the cross, it's not a far walk. It's in your mind's eye, in fact. And have looked upon that cross, gazed intently at the one who died for you. Don't wait until it's too late. Don't wait. Come to the cross. Come to know Jesus as your personal Savior. And you know when Peter said, Lord, if it's truly you, bid me come and meet you in water. He said, come. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. Jesus said, now give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and I'll give you rest unto your souls. That's the Jesus that can save you. That's the Jesus that's waiting for you with open arms. I mean, nailed to the cross. Come. If you're here today without Jesus Christ, don't wait. In that song of invitation, someone can meet you here, show you how you can be saved. And if you are saved and you know Christ as your personal Savior, are you living for Him? You have a testimony. Your testimony is powerful. You got to use it. You know, someone said a picture is worth 1,000 words, but a testimony is worth 1,000 pictures. It's powerful. It's powerful. You have a testimony, and use it. And that's how you plant the seeds and sow, and then live it for Christ. Father in heaven, thank you, God.